top line you write straight, and the next line you write in two sections with a space in the middle. Then the next line you write three sections with two spaces in between, and then you alternate. Every other line has two spaces, and every other line has one empty space in the middle. Rabbi Kivega points out on the bottom of the page in the Yeridei in Hilchas Sefer Torah, the third Chelek Yeridei, he quotes a case of Mishnah, and he complains, how come nobody on the daf in Yeridei quotes this lahalocha? Then he writes in parentheses, a Sefer just came out, the Kanfa Yoina, and Hilchas Stam, and he quotes this case of Mishnah that says that the empty space in the middle, when you have the first line of the Shira is straight across, then the second line has written a little bit, you have an empty space in the middle, so the empty space should be enough space for 9 oiseas, like a stuma. You have to have enough space to write 9 oiseas. So then the next line that has 3 sections and 2 empty spaces, so the 2 empty spaces together should add up to 9, to the empty space of 9 oiseas. So he bemoans the fact that it wasn't mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Then the question is on the last line, Kivosas para berichpo farasha bayom, that's a big machloikas in different Sefer Torah. Some of the Sefer Torah have that written as solid, and some of the Sefer Torah have that also written like a shira. That's a big shot on Loch HaLamaisa, because the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that if you write prose in the Sefer Torah, let's say you write Bereishis Baral Kim, you write it like a shira, so it passes. Or if you write the shira like a prose, if you write poetry like prose, and prose like poetry, so it passes, but he had it. So it's a shaila whether all the Sefer Torah kosher. If the Sefer Torah have Kivosas Para written as a poem also, with empty spaces, and half of the Sefer Torah have it written as a one-line solid. It's a machlekes, the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra and he disagrees. The Ibn Ezra says, Kivosas Paro is part of what they sang. When they sang the Shira, so they said, Hashem Yom Lach Yom Vod, Kivosas Paro Berichboi, that was part of the Nigin. And the Ramban disagrees, says, no. The end of the Shira was Hashem Yom Lach Yom Vod, and the introduction was, Os Yoshman Yisos Yoshos Hashem Vayom Ruleimar, Kivosas Paro. That's the introduction, and that's the conclusion. And the Shira ends with Hashem Yim Lach Yom Vod. That's the common practice that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, that when you say Psuka de Zimra in the morning, so the meaning is that we recite Shira Sayam. When you get to the end, you say Hashem Yim Lach Yom Vod twice to indicate that that's the conclusion of the Shira Sayam. Like at the end of Tehillim, when you get to the end, you say from Ashrei to the end of the Sefer Tehillim, then you say, Kolon Shamatalukah Halukah, Kolon Shamatalukah Halukah, to indicate that we finish, but we really can't finish. As much Shira as we recite Tor Kodesh Baruch Hu, we never really finish. So that's the idea of repeating the Pasuk Hashem Elok Yonah Vod twice also. So that's on the assumption, like the Ramban, that that's the end of the Shira. Kivosas Paro is an epilogue. It's not actually part of the Shira. So it's a big shaila, and all the Sefer Torah, half of the Sefer Torah in the world are pasul. We don't know which half. We don't know which ones are the pasul of the Sefer Torah. There is an interesting medrash that's quoted by the Torah Shleima on the Shira Sayam that says that in the Shira there are 19 psukim. Kivosas Parah is the 19th pasul. Doesn't necessarily indicate like the Ibn Ezra that it's part of the Shira. Could be that it's not part of the Shira, but still in the Shira Sayam. That's the last pasuk. So there's a medrash quoted by the Torah Shleiman that says that when the Tanaim finally established the Tfilas Amidah as 19 brachas, originally it was 18 brachas, then they made it into 19 brachas, so they had to have a mocker in Tanakh. The Gemara says in Brachas, they had to have a mokum in Tanakh for all of the tefillahs that they instituted. That you have a right to make a tefillah with 7 units. Gimel Brachas, Rishonis, Gimel Brachas, Achronis, and one brach in the middle for Shabbos and Yontif. Then they had to have a source in Tanakh for Rosh Hashanah, Dikke, Musaf, that you have a Amidah, a tefillah with 9 units. So they have found a mokum in Tanakh. And so on, the Tanis Sibur, the tefillah consisted of 24 units. And the Chazaras Hashatz, the Chazan added on an additional 6 brachas in addition to the 18 that added up to 24. So they had to have a mokum in Tanakh. So originally what the Gemara says in brachas, when they instituted a tefillah Shmona Esrei with 18 brachas, they had a mokum in Tanakh. Then when made it into 19, they had another mokum in Tanakh, they have a right to make 19. So there's a medrash that says the mokum is over here. That keneged each pasuk in the Shira Sayam, they instituted another bracha in the Shmona Esrei. Right before the Shira Sayam, The pasuk says Vayosh Hashem Vayom HaSom Yad Mitzrayim. That's right before, and the pasuk before that, two pasukim before said Vayoshuv Hamayim Vachasu Asarech Vesaparshim Luchol Chayil Paro Aboyim Achreim Vayom Lanishab Behem Adechot. So in all the printed chumashim they have on the word Haboyim, the Hay of Haboyim, that this is one of the six pasukim in Chumash that has to be, this word Haboyim has to be on top of the Yom. The first one, of course, is Bereishis Bara Elokim. We start with the base. Okay, and then the Rosh Tevis is Beis Yud Hei and Shin Mem Vav Bikos Shemo. So this is assumed to be the Hei. There is a Machlekes and Rishani whether this Bikos Shemo, whether this Ma'akid B'di'evit. Is it possible to say for Torah if you don't have the Hei on top? I don't know if you're going to find the Sefer Torah that doesn't have it on top, but there is a Machlekes, yeah.
Is it, I once saw a Sefer Torah without the, not the Hey, the Met.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Is that possible?
That's a Machlekes HaRishon. Some Rishonim hold that it possible in Sefer Torah. One of them is the Yud is, this is the Hey. The Yud is in Vayichi. When Yaakov Avinu is giving the brachas to the children, so he says, Yehuda ato yaducha achecha. So there is a machloikis in two different traditions which yud has to be on top of the column. So some say the word Yehuda, and some say Yoducha. So if Yoducha is supposed to be Beresha Amud, so then Yehuda Ato are the last two words in the last line. I think the one before Yehuda Ato Yoducha is a Psucha. So it goes to the end of the line. And then the next line is just going to have two words, Yehuda Ato. Then the next column is going to begin with the word Yoducha. So some Rishonim say that's impossible. How can you say that you have to start with Yoducha? We have a klal that the minimum number of letters on every line have to be 9 letters. And Yehuda is 5 letters, and Ator is 3 letters, 5 and 3 in higher mathematics is 8. So if you only have 8 letters, so they say for Torah is possible. So how can you say that it's Yoducha? So the others answer back, no, but because Shmo is Ma'akev B'di'evit. So that takes precedence. It has to be Yoducha. And that's the halacha l'mashim. It has to be Yoduch, has to be on top. Either taina that you only have 8 letters on the bottom line, but this is makad b'di'evit also. So this because shmo the yikuvah takes precedence over having 9 letters on every line. It's assumed that it's Yehuda. We assume that it's Yehuda. It's not Yoducha, and it's usually assumed there are more rights in Yerideya that the because shmo is not makad b'di'evit. Bereishis is. Bereishis has to start from the beginning of the first column. But the other 5 are not Miyakev B'di'evit.
Because Maimonides says that the contrary, you should not break the columns, you end up squeezing the osseous.
Make a sloppy job.
Uh-huh.
It is opposed to the whole thing, the whole B'kosh Shmo. Oh, okay. I didn't even know. What is the earliest source they call it Midrashim have it? These Midrashim are from the days of the Rishonim. They don't really have earlier. I think in the Torah Shleima, the earliest source that he has for Be'is Yud Hei, Yishin Mem Vav, is the Lekach Tov. The Lekach Tov is a medrash that was composed in the days of the Bali Atosis, days of the Rishonim. There's another Lekach Tov that the Torah Shleima quotes. On the Mishnah says in Sukkah that when they used to celebrate on Sukkahs, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and everything that was going on, a lot of things were going on Sukkos in the Beis HaMikdash. So they used to say, Ani Bahu Hoshi Ano. So what does that mean, Ani Bahu Hoshi Ano? So Rashi has two pshatim on that Mishnah. The one pshat he gives is based on the pasuk, Zekele V'anvehu. What does the word V'anvehu mean? So the Gemara has different interpretations. So one pshat is what the Targum Onkelos says, Nove is a home that people live in. Zekele V'anvehu means Evne Le Beis Magdasho. Zekele, this is my God. The Anvehu, I will build a base Amigdosh to house him. I will build a base Nove, a home. A Nove means a home to house HaKadosh Baruch. That's one pshat. Then the Gemara has another pshat, Zekele mi Anvehu, milosh noy, noye mitzvah, Zekele. And when I fulfill a mitzvah, I will do it in a fancy fashion. And based on this, the Gemara quotes in Masechah Shabbos, Perek HaBlezer Nemilah, when the Moel performs the Bris Milah, strictly speaking, if he cuts off Basar HaChayfes, Reif HaTorah, Rubik Kukuloi, but it's going to look sloppy. So half of the Orla is going to remain, a part of the Orla is going to be missing. The Gemara says that L'chatchila, the proper practice should be to cut up the whole Orla, not even to leave a miyut. And the Gemara says the same thing with respect to Tfilin Noah, Tzitzis Noah, and Talis Noah, and so on. And the Noye Mitzvah require also that the Sefer Torah should be written in a fancy ksav. We had a Tosfos in Gittin that if the Sefer, strictly speaking, the Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut on every line, but if the Sefer doesn't have the ability to write neatly, so then he should have Sirtut on every line, that he should fulfill the Zekei Levi'an Ve'ut, no Yimitz. Then Imar has a third interpretation from a third Tana, Zekei Levi'an Ve'hu. The word Anvehu is Miloshen Anibahu, that we should imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other Tanoim learned this out from a different pasuk of Halachta Bedrochov in Parshas Kisovoi. And one Tan, I think Abishon, learns it out from the pasuk, Zekei Levi'an Ve'hu Anibahu. So Rashi has one pshat, that's what it means. Anibahu Hoshia No. I have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm praying to that God whom I am emulating, my mentor, and the one whom you emulate. So I pray to him, Hoshiel, no, he should save me. That's the one pshat that Rashi gives. Then Rashi has another pshat, that you have the three psukim in Parshas Bishalach, where it says, Vayisa malach Hashem ha'olach lopnei machnesa v'yelach machareihem. Psukim, Perek Yudalit, Psukim Yutes and Chof Aleph. Each one of these three psukim has 72 letters. So Rashi writes, if you take the first letter of the first pasuk and the last letter of the second pasuk and the first letter of the third pasuk, so that's Hashem Hashem. That's Vahu. The first letter of the first of Ayisa and the last letter of pasuk Chof is Ahe, Kol Alayla. And the first pasuk of pasuk Chof Aleph is Vav. So that's Vahu, Vav Hei Vav. And then another one of them is going to be Ani. So there are 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each name consisting of three letters. One of the Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara says that the only source that we have available for this is the Zohar. So obviously Rashi was in touch with the Zohar. Rashi was studying the Zohar. This is questionable because the Zohar wasn't this Gala till way after Rashi passed away. So they point out that the Torah Shleimer points out that the Chuvos HaGadim have this already. This comment, they quote from Rav Haigoin, this comment with the three psukim and so on, you have it in the Rishonim. So he quotes the Lekach Toiv, the Medrash Lekach Toiv on this pasuk. Lekach Toiv is a Medrash composed in the days of the Bali Atesus, they have it on this pasuk. It's not necessarily that the Rashi was quoting from the Zohar. There are some other Rashis in Shas, but they don't know of any other source other than the Zohar. So that's questionable. How could Rashi have had the Zohar if it wasn't revealed till years later? It's a problem. In the opening psukim in Parshas Bishalach, it says, "Vikach Moshe Satzmas Yosef Imo." Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef Hatzadik with him. The Medrash says that everybody was busy fulfilling the tzivui that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them. They should knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach and ask for matonis. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have enough time to do that Torah Shor. He was busy. Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvos. The Medrash quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, "Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvos." Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham leib, so he did a different mitzvah. They were also doing a mitzvah. But they said, we're also doing a hayrah shor, not a mitzvah, the dar is a hayrah shor, to ask for bizus mitzrayim, to ask for matan. And Moshe Rabbeinu was busy taking care of Atzmas Yosef. Because Hashbei is Bnei Yisrael, Yosef, before he died, had the whole Jewish nation take a shvuah. V'halisim es atzmaisam yizeh itchem. And nobody was taking care of the shvuah. They had promised so many centuries, not so many centuries, years before. A few centuries before. They promised they're going to take care of, bring back the bones of the Yosef HaTzadik. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who took care of it. So Rashi quotes a Medrash on this pasuk, Hashbeya Hashbeya, Yosef HaTzadik knew it's going to be a long wait till they're going to have it see his Mitzrayim. So he can't have the people swear you're going to take my bones. They're not going to live so long. It's going to be 210 years till the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to take place. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Hashbeya Hashbeya has b'neim. He had them take a shvuah that they'll make their children take a shvuah, that they'll make their children take a shvuah. So when it comes time to redeem the Jewish people, they should take his bones with them. So there's a collection of letters from the Ragachava that they printed after he passed away. All the yeshiva bochum used to send postcards to the Ragachava. Everybody goes to Kasha from the Chassidish yeshivas, from the Snagdish yeshivas. He used to get a ton of mail every day. He wasn't able to pay for all the postage. If he would have to pay, he would go broke. So he used to send a double postcard. Years ago, they used to have it in America. Maybe they still have. Double postcard that was held, the two sides were held together with a perforation. And then you would write on one of them, and then it had return postage on the other postcard. When the other person wants to respond, so the postage is prepaid already. So a lot of bochum in yeshivas. Rabbanim, everybody sent letters to the Rogatcheva. He answered everybody. So after he passed away, so they put together all the letters and they printed it. They called the Shadus and Chuvas Tzafnas Paneh. It's not really Shadus and Chuvas. They didn't ask him Aloch Lamaisa. They asked them Kashas and learning. Remember Rabbi Gifta said that when he was learning and tells the yeshiva, he had a Kasha and a Gemara in Krisis. Gemara Me'ila, Gemara Krisis. I forgot already what he told me. And he asked all the Lomdim and the tells the yeshiva, no one knew the answer. And there was one Talmud Chacham who was supposed to be an expert on that, either Krisis or Me'ila, an expert on that Masech, he stumped the experts. Nobody knew the answer. So someone said he should send a letter to the Ragachava. Everybody used to ask the Ragachava. He asked him the Kasha. So he sent a letter to the Ragachava. So he said he got back a response. Madua Tatrideni Yetiv No Yididi. Look, there's a Taisus somewhere that asked the Kasha. So look in Taisus, they talk about the Kasha. Taisus in a different Masechta talks about the Kasha. But so every so often someone would send the Ragachava a letter that wanted him to get involved in politics. And he asked him, what does he say about the Aguda? So he would write a pillow about Lulu Tzarech Eged. He knew what the Aguda was. He didn't want to get involved. So he asked him once, what does he say about the Shalda Shavuos? The Shalda Shavuos, that's the Hungarian Rabbanim, the Mincha Saluza. And he terrified all the other Rabbanim in Hungary that no one's allowed to support Zionism because of the Shalda Shavuos. The Gemara says in the end of Tzuvos that the Pasuk appears three times in Sefer Shir Hashirim. Eshbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim Em Te'iru Em Te'iru Es Rabat Shetechpots. So the Gemara says, what is the Shavua? The Jewish people took a Shavua that they won't press the issue of Hakamas HaMedina. They won't force the issue, they won't make a Medina before it's time. So you see, you're not allowed to make a Medina. That's what the Minchas Allah say. You're not allowed to make a Medina. So so someone sent the Ragat Shavua letter. What does he have to say about the Shalda Shavuos? So he didn't want to write on the politics. So he just wrote a Shtikol Torah as follows. How come... He says, we never took the Shavua. Shal Shavuos, we never took the Shavua. It was taken some time before the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech records in Shir Hashim, Eshbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim. The Jewish people took it. So why is it binding on us if we never took the Shavua? And here it says, Eshbiyam Sheyashbiyo Ezbeneihem. Yosef wanted the Shavua to be binding, so he had them swear that they'll make their children swear, that they make their children swear, etc., etc., when it's time for the Yetzias Mitzrayim. They should take his bones with them. So how come it doesn't say, Eshbati Eschem Shetashbios Benechem? In the recent years, in recent centuries, in the last 2,000 years, no one took that Shavua. So why isn't binding on anybody today? So he answered, he wrote a Shtikol Torah on the Shalosh Shavua. So he answered that the Shavua that Yosef had his children swear was Kodem Matan Torah. So there was no Klal Yisrael yet, there were only Yechidim. So you can't have a concept of Shavuas HaTzibur, only Shavuas HaYochid. So the Yechidim had to take a Shavua, Sheyashbiyu Ez Beneim. That they'll make their children swear, that they make their children swear when it's time for Yetzias Mitzrayim, they'll take his bones with them. But this Shavua that was taken before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, Eshbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim, that was after Maimon HaSinai. And after Maimon HaSinai it says, Vayichan Shoham Neged Har. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Vayichan Loshen Yochid, Ki Shechad Belev Echad. The whole Klal Yisrael constitutes one Tzibur. So there's such a concept of Shavuos HaTzibur. It's in Yeridei, quotes of Beis Yosef in Hilchos Shavuos. So just like there's a Shavuos HaYochid, there's a Shavuos HaTzibur. But there's no concept of Tzibur until after Maimon HaSinai. So Yosef, before Matan Torah, so had to have Hishbiyam Sheyashbiyo Ez Beneihem. And Shlomo HaMelech is recording the Shavuot that was taken after Maimon HaSinai. So that's why it's binding on all the future generations, even if they're not Mashbiyam Sheyashbiyo Ez Beneihem.
So presumably there was a Shavuot
Tzibur,
but
they let
their kids get married. But they said the
Shavuot
didn't
follow
their kids.
Yeah, they only Ishmi Menu, Leitin is Bito, the Bnei Binyam. Ishmi Menu, there was a Tzibur, but they didn't take the Shavuot, they just took the Shavuot by the Pilegish Begiver. That's how the Gemara points out. That they took the Shavuot, they're not going to allow their children to intermarry with them. This week, many people were reciting Parsha Samon. It says in Shulchan Aruch that there's a Midas Chassidus to recite Parsha Samon every day after Shacharis, if you have time. What's the idea of reciting Parsha Samon? The Gemara says on the first daf in Tainis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he created a lot of malachim, and the malachim are in charge of running the teva. Like the Gemara has a lashon in Chulin. Every blade of grass has a malach who hits him lets the blade of grass and tells it to grow. So malacha means those powers that are in charge of teva. So the Gemara says in the first daf in Tainis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the running of the whole world to malacha, means everything is run by teva. With Gimel Maftechas, there are three keys, the three issues were never given over to malacha. So one is the Maftech of Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Paschias Kibar Sechem Le'enechem." The Baruch Shalom is going to do Tchias HaMesim himself. And what is the Maftech of Chaya, of Yoledes, having babies? That's directly Min HaShemayim. It doesn't just go B'derech HaTeva. It's always Hashgacha Pratis Min HaShemayim. And the third one is Gishamim. And then the Gemara says the fourth one is Parnas, but the Gemara says the third and the fourth are the same. If you have an agricultural society, so Gishamim means Parnasa. The Gemara says Parnasa is never B'derech HaTeva. Parnasa is always directly Min HaShemayim. That's one of the Gimel Mafteches. Shalom Masa HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'yad Malach. So that's the idea, reciting the Parshas Amon. The Pasuk says that the Mon came down Lechem Min HaShemayim. So if a Jew believes that his Parnasa is Min HaShemayim, if he has Bitochen in the Rabbanu Shalom, so then he'll be Zeichet to Parnasa. Rabbi Soloveitchik published many years ago the first Yahrzeit Drasha that he delivered. So he gave, part of his Drasha was on the Mon. So he developed a theme that says this is the main difference between the Orthodox and the non-Orthodox. The Orthodox believe that Parnasa is Min HaShemayim, so that's why they're not going to be Mechal Shabbos to make more money, and they're not going to skimp and save money on kashrus. If you eat non-kosher food, it's half the price. Kashrus is very expensive, and Taras HaMishpacha costs money also, not only pleasure, it costs money to use the mikveh. Everything is expensive. To be a religious Jew is expensive. So if you won't be religious, you save yourself a lot of money. So the Orthodox Jew believes that Parnasa is Min HaShemayim. So he's not gonna be Masik Gvul. He's not gonna steal from someone else, and he's not gonna be Masik Gvul on someone else's Parnasa. It's not gonna help him. He believes that Parnasa is Min HaShemayim. And if a person doesn't believe that the Lechem comes Min HaShemayim, so then he'll do Kol Dvarim Asurim in order to make a few more dollars. So by some Hasidim, they have a practice that on Parshas B'Shalach, whatever, the Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, they have to read the Parshas Amon twice, whatever. In Shulchan Aruch, they recommend you read Parshas Amon every day to review in your mind that Parnasa is Min HaShemayim. It says, but the month, when the month came down, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Bnei Yisrael, Ichlu Hayoim, first he told them to collect the month every day. And then he told them that on Shabbos, the man is not going to fall down, because Lech Mishnah came down on Erev Shabbos. Told him, man is not going to come down on Shabbos. And then he told him, Hichlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom Lashem hayom lo simtzu basode. So the Gemara points out, because he used the phrase hayom three times, so that's how we established the practice that you eat three sudas on Shabbos. Shalosh sudas on Shabbos. Shalosh sudas on Shabbos, learned that from a pasuk, it's a real din d'oraisa, right? So some of the achreinim, right, the Shalosh Udas is deraisa. It's usually assumed not like that. This pasuk is an asmachta. It doesn't mean the Shalosh Udas is deraisa. It doesn't even necessarily mean that they really ate Shalosh Udas. It sounds like he told them to eat three sudas, and midirabbanan, they made a takana zecher to their three sudas. But we assume Shalosh Udas is only the rabbanan. We have also lecha mishnah zecher l'mon. We want to make a zecher to l'mon, that a double portion l'mon came down on Erev Shabbos. And the same thing, we have Lech HaMishnah on Yontif, because we assume that the Mon, the Gemara in the first daf in Beitza, assumes that the Mon did not fall down on Yontif. Tosis points out that there is a Medrash on the Pasuk, by Baruch HaLekim HaSeyam HaShvei, by Kadesh Oso, Bercha B'mon, Kitcha B'mon, that Shabbos was designated as a special day, Bercha B'mon, that Lech HaMishnah came down. Bracha means Tosefes, extra. So Bercha B'mon, that Lech HaMishnah came down on Erev Shabbos, and Kitcha B'mon means Kedusha, means abstention, that the mon did not fall down on Shabbos. And we say in the davening, so it says, Varech HaLekim Es Yom HaShvi HaKadosh, so only Shabbos was designated. Yontif not. And the davening we say, Birachtem Kalayim Mekidashtem Mechol Azmanim. So it sounds like only Shabbos is Mevurach or Mekudosh Mol Azmanim as opposed to Yontif. So it sounds as if in the davening, it sounds as if the mon did fall down on Yontif. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. So the mon had to fall down on Erev Shabbos, on Yontif you're allowed to carry. So for what good reason did the mon not fall down on Yontif? So Tosis has one suggestion, maybe it's Midrashim Chalukim. Maybe the Gemara in the first daf in Beitzah assumes the man didn't fall down on Yontif and a double portion fell down. And there of Yontif, maybe the Ramadrashim would disagree and hold that the man did fall down on Yontif, because on Yontif there's no prohibition of carrying. It's Achal Nefesh. We read last week's parasha. Achal Nefesh is Mut on Yontif. But we assume that historically, we assume the man did not fall down on Yontif. Lechem Mishnah fell down on the Erev Yontif. And just like on Shabbos, the rabbis required the Lechem Mishnah Zechal Amon, so to on Yontif we require a Lechem Mishnah Zechal Amon. The Rambam requires Sholesh Sudis on Yontif just like on Shabbos, because you want to make a Zechal Amon. So just like make a Zechal Amon for the Lechem Mishnah, you make a Zechal Amon for the three Sudis. In Shulchan Aruch, that's not the accepted opinion. They quote from the Talmud, Yerushalmi, Mishnayis, Maisa Sheni. When the Yerushalmi talks about the din of Shas HaBiur, on Erev Pesach of the fourth year, and Erev Pesach of the seventh year, there's a din of Biur Maisris. So it talks about how much food you can leave over for Pesach. So the assumption is that you have three Sudas on Shabbos. The assumption is you don't have three Sudas on Yontif. So Yerushalmi is against the Rambam. Shalmi is against the Rambam. Then on Yontif you don't eat Shalosh Sudas. That's a kasha. Why? If you require Lechem Mishnah because you assume the man didn't fall down on Yontif, it fell down on Erev Yontif, you make a zecher to the Nes of the man on Yontif to have Lechem Mishnah. So why don't you make a zecher to have Shalosh Sudas as well?
But what about the Mishnah in Sukkah that says, the Rav Elazar says you need 14 meals on Sukkahs. So doesn't that, he's excluding Shalosh Sudas there?
He's including Shalosh Sudas for Shabbos also, yeah. He's leaving out Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos because Sukkot has 7 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is he leaving out Shalosh Sudas?
It's a good question. That's a good question.
Doesn't matter if he skipped Mu'amalta and didn't get it because they only had one on Sunday.
The what?
They didn't have Mu'amalta. They never been made meal. Moved to Shabbos. Moved to Shabbos. They get 14.
Only had, well,
they had one night and one in
debt.
So if you don't have
Malamalka,
you have Shal
Shabbos. Uh-huh. So why does he leave that Malamalka? So we shifted the kasha. Okay. Okay.
Well,
then
Malamalka also a good question.
The Gemara says he's supposed to have Malamalka? I don't know. Could be the answer is, I'm not trying to say like this, the Ri is Mesupik in Brochus. And maybe for Suda Shlishis, maybe you don't have to have Davke Pas. For the Suda on Friday night, for the Suda on Shabbos morning, they assume you have to have Pas. And for Shalosh Sudas, we suggest maybe Mina Tagim is sufficient. So Mina Tagim is not called an Achila B'Kviyas. It may be that you're allowed to eat Chutz L'Sukkah. Maybe he only lists off, or Blaise only insists you have to have the 14 meals in the Sukkah that are Achilas Keva that have Pas. Maybe Shalosh Sudas doesn't need Pas. Yeah, that also needs a little explanation. Why is the Suda Shlishis different from the first two Sudas? Why do you say the first two Sudas you have to have Davke Pas? And if you bench and if you cut to say Ritzei, the Gemara says in Maseches Brochas you have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon because you're not yet to the Suda with that. You had to have Pas. In Shalosh Sudas, the Ri is Mistapik to say that if you bench, if you get Ritzei, you don't have to bench over again because you really could have been Yotze with Mini Tagima that didn't need really Achilles Kriyas. So why do we distinguish between the third Suda and the first two? That's another question. How come you don't have Kiddush? Yeah. The Rambam says the Mogan Avraham quotes the Rambam. He's supposed to have Yain by the Suda Shlishis also. The Kiveh the Sudan Yain. Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik gave a suggestion on this. Why the Ri is of the opinion that the Suda Shlishis is maybe sufficient with Mini Tagima? So he said that the Tzvei Dinim over here, the two different halachas, there's one din in the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Shabbos, beginning of Perek Lamed in Hilchos Shabbos, that there are four mitzvahs in connection with Shabbos, the Zachar B'Shamar and Kibud V'Yonig. Zachar B'Shamar is in the Chumash and Kibud V'Yonig is Midiri Kabbalah, that says in the Novi Yeshaya. So what's the din of Kibud V'Yonig? So is there a din of Oynik Shabbos the whole course of the Shabbos? And you say there's a separate din of Oynik Shabbos Beleil Shabbos and Oynik Shabbos Beyoimav Shabbos. So that's Beferish in the Gemara. The Gemara said, the Bavli says that Kvod Yom Odif Mikvod Lailo. If you have a delicacy that the family enjoys eating and you don't have enough money to serve it in both meals, or you don't want to serve it in both meals, you just want to serve in one of the two, so which of the two meals should be fancier? So the Gemara says in the Bavli that Kvod Yom Odif Mikvod Lailo. And the Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar that says, "Fakirta kvod laila odif b'kvod yom." So you see, atzara shavish abem, the opposite. Min akotze lakotze, the Gemara and the Zohar. But the Rav Soloveitchik said, "Hatzara shavish abem." They both say the same premise that there's a din of kvod yom and a din of kvod laila. There's a separate din of kibud v'oinig. Oinig, we would say oinig, oinig laila and oinig yom. The Gemara in Yuma has a separate pasuk that one who eats Leil Yom Kippur is Chayv Koris, and one who eats B'yoyim of Yom Kippur is Chayv Koris. So it sounds as if it's always like that. Every Yom and Laila of every Shabbos, every Yontav, you need a separate Pasuk. That's what the Tosfos Rishonim raises the question. So they say maybe there's a Pasuk, and every Shabbos and every Yontav, a separate Pasuk for Nisim Alocha B'Laila, and a separate Pasuk for Nisim Alocha B'Yom. They're two different units of time. You don't say that it's one stretch of 24 hours. You need a separate Pasuk. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe mitam the din of kvod yom and kvod laila you have to have pas. You have to have one meal by laila of pas and one meal by yom of pas. And the third, the requirement to have sholosh sudas, that's zecha leman. As far as that's concerned, you could have had all the three meals could have been mini tagima. You don't need pas bichlal for that. The only need for pas on leil Shabbos and yom of Shabbos. And Leil Yantif and the Yom of Yantif is based on Kibud V'Yayinik. It's not really based on Zecha Laman. Zecha Laman could have been, all three meals would have been sufficient with Minei Targima. So that's why some say the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Let's say a person ate the meal Shabbos morning, and at the end of the meal he forgot to say Ritzei. So the din is here, Yotze Birchus Hamas, and just not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. What's the problem? I'm going to have another Suda for Shalosh Shudas. I'll remember to say Ritzei by Shalosh Shudas. So this will be the Suda Shlishis. The Suda is Alocha, the third meal. Shalosh Shudas has to be after the second Suda. You have one Kvod Yom and one Kvod Laila. So I have one meal that I'll wash and I'll say Ritzei in the daytime. One meal will turn out to be Suda Shlishis. I'll wash and I'll say Ritzei there. And the early morning meal when I forgot to say Ritzei, so that'll be it. So B'Toras Mini Tagima, that'll be the Shalosh Shudas. Be'ezak too says that it has to be dafka in this order, that the morning suda has to be with the pas, and the afternoon suda on Shabbos, the afternoon has to be sufficient with the mini tagim. You can do it in the reverse order. They're really two different dinim. One din is zecha leman. All three meals could have been mini tagim. And then the other din is based on kvod yom and kvod laila, so that can be one meal in the daytime, whichever meal, either the early meal or the second meal.
You run into a different problem, kishma suda. The morning meal has to be passed because you need to have Kiddush Makom Suda. It's usher to eat without washing.
Kiddush B'Makom Suda, yeah, okay.
So you run into a different problem. That's why it has to be.
I mean, it has to be Kiddush B'Makom Suda. You have to be Yotze the Suda Shabbos. So if you don't say Ritzei, so you're not Yotze Suda Shabbos.
Yeah.
So you won't Yotze the Kiddush B'Makom Suda.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why. No. Maybe those who disagree with Rav Chaim, they say you have to go in order. Because you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda, and the Suda has to be a Yotze the Suda Shabbos. And if you don't say Ritzei, you're not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. Okay, maybe that's the explanation.
No one does that. Everyone, they go to Kiddush and Shul, you have a bit of some cookies, and you're
saying,
you don't
make Kiddush. Even in Mizrnas, you have to say Ritzei.
No. The Gaonim, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Gaonim who say that Kiddush B'makom Suda you can fulfill even if it's not a Suda with which you yotze the Suda Shabbos. Even Mizrnas is enough. So the Minhag Olam is Lahakel, as you say, that people go to a Kiddush and they have cake. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, the Magen Avraham says that strictly speaking, the Minhag is Lahakel even on Friday night. Let's say a person doesn't feel well, or he's very exhausted, he's not hungry, whatever, and he doesn't really want to eat a meal on Friday night, but he has to say Kiddush. So he has to say Kiddush B'makom Suda. So the Magen Avraham says he can rely on the Gaonim, say Kiddush, have a little cake, and say Ala Michya and Ala Geffen, and go to sleep. And then in the daytime, they'll have three meals, because it says in Shulchan Aruch that whoever didn't have the Suda, Leil Shabbos, can have three meals in the daytime of Shabbos. Here, where you said Kiddush Friday night, and you just had a brief mezainis, some cookies, relying on the Shita Sakanim, that satisfies the need for Kiddush Malkam Suda, so you weren't really into the Suda of Leil Shabbos. So you have all the three meals in the daytime. That's what the Magen Avraham said. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Minhag Olam is only in the daytime of Shabbos, to rely on the Shita Sakanim, not in nighttime. He thought maybe it's based on something like a Sveksveke, that the Ravid's opinion is that there's no prohibition, the din that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush only applies on Friday night. The Rambam says it applies even on Shabbos morning. You're not permitted to eat before Kiddush, and the Ravid disagrees on the Rambam. He says, what do you mean? You already made Kiddush last night. So what's wrong with eating before Kiddush? You have to separate between Achila Shel Shabbos and Achila Shel Chol. So you separate by having Kiddush at the beginning of Shabbos and by having Havdalah Lakos at the end of Shabbos. And whatever you eat in the middle of Shabbos is covered with the Kiddush in the beginning of Shabbos. There's another din to say Kiddush in connection with the Suda. On Shabbos morning, to be Kaber the Suda, the same Suda Shabbos. But to say not allowed to eat before Kiddush, on Shabbos morning, the Ravid disagrees. So we don't follow the Ravid. We usually follow the Rambam on this issue. We don't permit people to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So Lechik thought maybe we're makel to rely on the goyim along the lines of a sveksveik. Maybe the din is like the Ravid that you're allowed to eat before Kiddush. And even if the din is like the Rambam that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning, maybe the din is like the goyim that the Kiddush Makom Suda is satisfied by having cake and cookies.
Why do we need to get a
six-second?
There is
a
achila before Kiddush.
Yeah. It is the Rabbanon, yeah, but we're machma for the Rambam. The generally accepted opinion is that not allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Unless you want to have a bite before Shacharis. Before Shacharis, not yet this man for the meal. So there's no prohibition of eating before Kiddush. You're not allowed to eat before you daven Shacharis. That's a different story. So unless a person isn't well, and if he's not going to have a bite, so he won't be able to daven well. So his eating before Shacharis is enabling him to daven better. But if he waits to daven Shacharis till 11:30, so of course he's not going to feel well. So let him daven at 8 o'clock. He tells him to wait till the Lubavitcher. They wait to daven Shacharis till doomsday, and then they're starving. So of course they have to eat. So they have a whole meal before they daven on Shabbos morning. So that's not right. Daven on a normal minyan. So you won't have to eat before Shacharis. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe the reason why Suda Shlisha is the Ri is Mekel, that Mina Tagima is good, because the two Chiyuvim come from two different angles. The Chiyuv of three Sudas on Shabbos, Hayom, 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 Zecha Laman, all three could have been, you could have been Yotze with Mina Tagima. And then the requirement to have passed, that's based on a different din. That's based on the Halach of Kvod Yom and Kvod Laila, where you hold like the Zohar, you hold like the Gemara, but they both say you have to have Kvod Yom and Kvod Laila. So Kvod Yom is Machayev, but you have to have Davke Suda with Pas. That was the suggestion, yeah.
Someone's told me they know people who do the opposite.
They you can do what?
They know people who, they have Kiddush and Shul, eat some cake, and they veg, using Kiddush from Suda. So the Zonas you have to Kiddush by definition is Suda.
I mean they bench after the Kover Suda on the cake?
They have a little bit of cake, and then they bench on that, because they say it's by definition to be a Suda, because if it's not, then you're not going to say Kiddush. And so those are Sakhmar, Rose, or Silver. So they're from Cincinnati, so that's a few people they're doing.
The Shari Tshuva next to the Behet, it quotes in the Maharach Rozarua, that was the son of the Rabbi Yitzchak Rozarua, one of the Rishonim, that the Gemara says in Beitzah, the Shabbos Koivas Lemaisris, that even if you just nibble a snack on Shabbos, whatever you eat is considered Achilas Keva with respect to the Yisa Tevel. That you're not permitted to eat tevel achilas keva. So the Maharach Azura says, based on that Gemara, that if you have cake on the weekdays and you kaver suda on it, you have to say hamoitzi. So whenever you have a bite of cake, a snack of cake on Shabbos, it's always called achilas keva. You always have to wash and say hamoitzi and bench on it. That's not the generally accepted opinion. A lot of people eat cake on Shabbos, they don't say hamoitzi. The Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, no, but if you're eating the cake in order to be yotze the Suda Shabbos, and then it becomes amoytze, then you kaveh suda on it. If you want to be yotze the Suda Shabbos with it, then it's called the Kriya Suda. Okay. In the first edition of the art scroll on his mirrors, they had a mistake. They were in a rush to print it, so they made a mistake. So they wrote that the three sudas that we have on Shabbos are reminiscent of the meals that Haman participated in with Achashverosh and Esther. And they quoted as the source, the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan quoted from the Haman, the Gemara says. Someone read it quickly, and no one had a chance to read it over before they printed it. It had nothing to do with Haman, it has to do with the Mon in today's parasha. The Pasuk says that on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, Al Yetzi Ish, no one's allowed to go out. What does it mean? So Rashi and Chumash writes, You're not allowed to, when they collected the man, so they had pots and pans. They would scoop up the man and put it in the pot, and they would carry, instead of carrying it in their hands, not their cherets, so they would scoop it up in a spoon, mislama, and only shirayim from a rebbe you have to hold in your hand. The man you can put in a spoon. So they would carry it in a kli, they would carry it in. So on Shabbos, there was no Erev, it was the Shusarab and the Rai, so there was no Erev. Because it'll be a violation of Hotzoh on Shabbos. That's what we assume. We assume la halacha lamaisa that Tchumen is lav deraisa. The Tanoim who think that Tchumen is deraisa, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Tchumen alpay mama is deraisa. Alpay mama is 1 mil. Tchumen alpay mama is deraisa. The Gemara says we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. So the Pashto says you don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. So the whole institution of Tchumen is lav deraisa. So the Rif in the end of the first parak in Erev in quotes a Yerushalmi. And the Rambam quotes this also, and the Mechaber Paskins like that, that even though we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion that Tchumen Alpay Mama is deraisa 1 mil, but Tchumen Yud Beis Mil, that'll be deraisa. Al Yetzi Yishmim Koma, because the Gemara says, where they get the magical number of Yud Beis Mil? Because the Gemara says that I think Rabbi Barbachana was traveling in the Midbar. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells about the touring of Rabbi Barbachana. He had an Arab giving him a guided tour. So he showed him where the Machne Yisrael was, and the Chumash tells you from this place to this place. So Rabbi Barbachana says he measured it, and it's Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. So you see that the Machne Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil. So the Yerushalmi says that the other Tanaim understand al Yetz Yishmim Koma goes on Tchumen. You're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum. Doesn't go on carrying, goes on going Chutz L'Tchum. You're not allowed to go chutz l'mekomo. Why should you say mekomo is alpay mama? Mekomo is the whole Machne Yisrael is Yud Beis Mil. That's the shear of Tchumen, Yud Beis Mil. So the Rambam paskens like the Rif based on the Yerushalmi, and the Mechaber paskens like that, that Yud Beis Mil is the Reis. And the Rambam paskens like the Bali HaTesis. It's not mentioned in the Bavli at all. Tesis never quotes this Yerushalmi. Tesis, we're not sure whether the Bali HaTesis had a full set of Yerushalmis. Once in a while they quote Yerushalmi, and most of the time they don't. So this Yerushalmi don't quote at all. So the Ramah paskens the role of Tchumen is only the Rabbanu. Lamai nafkamina, Tchumen is Tchumen. Tchumen of Alpay Mama is Asa. So what's the difference whether Yud Beis Mil is Asa and Atar Asa and the Rabbanu? Because the Gemara has sometimes an Ibaya Deleiv Shita. Whenever you have a Sveiket Adina, so if it's an issue, the Ateku. So if you have a Teku by a Dinda Raisa, you go to Chumra. Teku by a Dinda Rabbanu, you go to Kulam. So the Gemara has an Ibaya, the Leib Shita, in the middle of the Erevin, in the Mems, around Mem Dalet or so, is there an Isa Tchumen Lamaila Me'asora? If a person is walking on stilts, and his legs are, the stilts are so tall, and he's Lamaila Me'asora Tvachim from the ground. If a person is on a wagon, on a train, and the train has wheels, and the wheels are on the ground, or a person is riding on horseback, and the horse is very tall, but the feet of the horse are on the ground. So that's considered as if he's lamata me'asar tfachim. He's sitting on a floor, or he's sitting on a horse, which is sitting on the ground. But if the fellow's talking the airplane or a person is on a boat, and the floor of the boat is suspended, floating on top of the river, and the ground level is the bottom of the river, the bottom of the ocean. So then he's lamata me'asar tfachim from the ground level below. So then the Gemara has an Ibayd Leif Shita. Is there a din of Tchum in Lamal Me'asar? There are two Sfeikis and they're both Lahakil. Is a person, if B'tchilas HaShabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, Bein HaShmashas, on Friday evening, the person is Lamal Me'asar, is he kind of Shvisa there? Normally, wherever a person is, he's kind of Shvisa there, and you calculate the Isa Tchumen from that spot on. So if a person is in an airplane, is he kind of Shvisa in the airplane or not? Is not kind of Shvisa in the plane, is he kind of Shvisa on the ground? Below exactly that location, that latitude and longitude where the airplane is. So that's in the Bayit Leif Shita. And there's also included in the Bayit Leif Shita, it was kind of Shvisa on the dry land. And now he wants to walk Chutz L'Tchum by walking on stilts. So that's in the Bayit Leif Shita, is there an Isa of going Chutz L'Tchum L'Mala Me'asar? So Tchumen is only the Rabbanon. So you go L'Kulam. So the Mechaber Paschal, like the Rif and the Rambam, that Tchumen Yud Beis Mil is their Isa. And therefore, you're not allowed to go chutz liyud beis mil ma'ala me'asar tfoch. And the Ramah says we're mekel on everything. We pass on that even tchum and yud beis mil is all the rabbana. Nothing is the raisa. So that the bay the leif sheet in the gemara that tchum and ma'ala me'asar would be lohakel not only on alpay mama even on yud beis mil. So the gemara says where is the law for tchumen? There's no misa. There's no kores. There's no chatos. Where is the lav? So the Gemara says, if you hold that chumen is derais, and the makom is this pasuk. Al yetzi ish bim kama bayam ha-shvi.
Would that apply to the knas if someone is outside the chum?
So the Gemara has on the last daf in the first perek in Erev, the Gemara has a machloikis hamarayim on the assumption that chumin is an isa deraisa, either like Rabbi Akiva, or if you hold from the Yud Beis Mil, from this Yerushalmi, that's never mentioned in the Bavli, would there be malchus or not? Why should there not be malchus? Allah, b'al yetzi ish ben komo. Because it doesn't say lo. The rule is, who gets malchus? One who violates an aver, which is similar to lo sachs m'shar b'disha. Has to be similar to lo sachs m'shar b'disha in the nusach ha-kosev ha-torah. Has to be, there it says, lo sachs m'shar b'disha. Has to be written something like that. And the nature of the avera, the ma'isa avera, has to be similar. Lav shema ma'isa, lav anita glase. If the nature of the avera is not similar, so the Gemara says, why should you say that this lav al yetzi ish mem koma is not sufficiently similar to lo sach shor b'dishay? Because it doesn't say loy, it only says al. Gemara says no, hishama pen v'al is the same as loy. That's sufficiently similar. Gemara says no. The reason why there's a machloek is whether if you hold chumen is deraisa. The reason why there's a machloek is whether there's malchus or not. Is because maybe the pshuta shall mikra yetzish when coming really goes on hoitzor. But we say that chumin is also included as an additional level of interpretation. So if it's an additional level of interpretation, it's not pshuta shall mikra, so that's not the same as losach m'shar b'disha. Losach m'shar b'disha, it means what it says and it says what it means. That's pshuta shall mikra. If you have a pasuk that has two levels of interpretation, one is pshuta shel mikra, and one is an additional level, so that you wouldn't be loike for the additional level. That's what the Gemara calls a lav shebichlolus. Means that this too is included. Gamza nichlo ba'alav. This is also included, but it's not really pshuta shel mikra.
Why would there be malchus for?
For hoitzor, there's misa. That's a real malacha. But chumin, even if the old chumin is deraisa, it's not from the lametes of his malachas. It wasn't in the Mishkan. It is not going to be kori, it's not going to be misa, it's not going to be chata. It's just a machlokes in the Gemara. If the old chumin is deraisa, whether you like it or not. So that's the shaila. How do you translate al yetzi ish min koma? The pshuta shal mikra goes on chumin, or the pshuta shal mikra goes on hoitzor, and the chumin is also included in the prohibition. There's a machlekes on the assumption that chumen is deraisa. The Rambam counts it as one of the taryag mitzvahs ha-Torah. According to the Rambam, that's the mitzvah in Parshas Bishalach, the mitzvah not to go chutz l'chum. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the Mishnah Torah that the isa chumen is deraisa only on Shabbos, not on Yontif. Yontif is only the Rabbanon, and not even on Yom Kippur. Tosis writes, not so. Tosis Bekama Mekaymus assumes that if one assumes that Chumen is deraisa, it applies both to Shabbos and to Yontif. Then after the Rambam passed away, so there was a correspondence between Rabbi Daniel HaBavli and the Rambam's son, Rabbi Avram ben Avraham. Rabbi Daniel was a dayan in Baghdad. That's why he's known as Rabbi Daniel HaBavli. That's Bavel. Baghdad is part of Bavel. They said that that was the longest standing yeshiva in the world, was Pumbedisa. It lasted over 2,000 years. That the yeshiva was there for centuries and centuries. And then the Ben Ish Chai moved it to Baghdad until Saddam Hussein closed it down. The yeshiva lasted for, it was there from the time of Churban Bais Rishon or something. That's what they say. The yeshiva was in Pumbedisa until the Ben Ish Chai moved to Baghdad, then the Russia closed it down. Okay. So the... So this Rabbi Daniel HaBavli had a whole bunch of kashas on the Rambam, mainly on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, some kashas on the Mishnah Torah, and mainly on the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So this is one of the kashas that he had. I can understand what your father wrote, that Tchumen is only deraisa on Shabbos, not on Yontif, that he agrees with him, but he says Yom Kippur should be the same as Shabbos. Why did the Rambam write that Tchumen on Yom Kippur is only the Rabban? So Rabbi Avram ben Avraham was a good son, and he defends his father's position. He explains why he thinks that it's only Asa min HaTorah on Shabbos and not on Yom Kippur, not even on Yom Kippur. But bottom line, there are three opinions. The Turi Evin, Shabbos Ari, and the Sefer on Chagigah, the Turi Evin and Rosh Hashanah. So he tainas against Tosfos. Tosfos writes all over the place in a few Masechtos that if Truman is derais, it'll be derais on Yontif also. So Shagasari Tainas, he doesn't think that that's so. He thinks that even if Yom Truman is derais, it's only going to be derais on Shabbos, not going to be on Yontif. He doesn't get involved in Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is dinik Shabbos, Yom Kippur is dinik Yontif. He just thinks that it shouldn't carry over to Yontif. That's the Shaila. What carries over from Shabbos to Yontif? All the dinim carry over are only the melachas. Only the lamites melachas. Let's say, for example, Kiddush. So the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah in our Torah to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. That's how the Tanoim understood Zochar Yom Shabbos Lekatshoy, to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. And then the Rambam writes that the mitzvah to recite Kiddush carries over from Shabbos to Yontif because Kulam Shabbos Hashem Heim. All the Yomim Tovim are also referred to as Shabbos. As it says, as far as Malachim, Machmas HaShabbos, and it's not referring to Shabbos, Bereishis, what we call Shabbos, it's referring to Yontif. So you see that Yontif is referred to as Shabbos. The Rambam writes that Kibbeh V'yoinik, the Pasuk in Yishai says, V'karasov V'Shabbos Yoinik L'Kadosh Hashem Mechubot. Yishai is always talking about Shabbos. So maybe Kibbeh V'yoinik should only apply to Shabbos, shouldn't apply to Yontif. That's how it sounds from the Gemara. The Kibbeh V'yoinik is only on Shabbos, not on Yontif. So the Rambam writes against the Gemara. That's what the Beis Halevi and the others point out. The Rambam writes against the Gemara. The Kibbeh V'yoinik carries over from Shabbos to Yontif. And he writes in Hilchos Yontif the same expression, that they're all Shabbos, all Mikrei Kodesh, and they're all by Yadei Hashem, and therefore all the dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yontif. The Magen Mishnah and the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shabbos writes that there are those who disagree with the Rambam. They think that Kiddush on Yontif is only the Rabbana, and you don't carry over all the dinim of Yontif to Shabbos. So that's the Shaila over here. Let's say Tchumen. If you hold that Tchumen is the Reis on Shabbos, does it carry over to Yontif? So the Rambam is a shtickle inconsistent. The Rambam says the Kiddush does carry over from Shabbos to Yontif, and Kibbeh V'yoinik does carry over, and Chumen does not carry over. Why? Then there's a Taisus in the first Perek Misochem on Daf Hamid Beis, where Taisus talks about Havorah. There are 39 Ovis Malachas. So one Tana is of the opinion, Havorah L'Lav Yovis. What does he mean? From the 39 Ovis Malachas, 39 have Kores, and Havara doesn't have Kores, doesn't have Misa. Havara is only a lav. Why was it singled out? There are 39 malachas. Why does the Torah single out Havara? The answer is Havara is the weakest of the other. The other 38 have Kores and Misa and Chatos, and Havara only a lav. That's why it says, so the Shaila is, if one should assume Havara is only a lav, so maybe you have to reorient your thinking. Maybe what it means is there are 38 malachas and there's an Isa lav. They're not 39 malachas. So should I say no? They're 39 malachas, and one of them doesn't have the same einish. So Tosfos has one opinion in there, in Psachim Daf Hei Amud Beis, the top Tosfos. There are 38 malachas, and Havara is a separate Isa, and it doesn't carry over to Yontif. The only thing that carries over are malachas. And the fact that it's only a lav indicates that it's not a malachas, it's a separate Isa, so it doesn't apply to Yontif. Does the Shabbos Shvisas Behemto? Does the Shvisas Behemto carry over from Shabbos to Yontif?
Chamer?
Also Shaila. Does everything carry over? Do all the dinam, all the side dinam of Shabbos, do they all carry over to Yontif or not? So it's Ashtikal Astir and the Rambam about it.
I think Mar says in Rosh Hashanah that if this Shaifer was under Gal Shel Havanim, so it says in there that you can't take it out.
Because not allowed to take it out. Yeah.
Mar says that, and Yotzeh Chutzot Tchum.
Yeah, Tchumen is also on Yontif. Mishnah is beferish like that. The Shaila is, according to the Tanu holds that Tchumen is deraisa, does that apply to Yontif? But Tchumen does apply to Yontif. Either deraisa or derabbanan, one way or the other. We pass it all of Tchumen
is
on. It only means it's derabbanan, though. Mar talks about Tiltum Mar.
Mar's talking about say being defilaisa, say with derabbanan?
Yeah. Yeah. You see from that Gemara that even at Tiltomukts, there's also Esei Veloys Esei. And all the Dinim Derabbanan, the Gemara calls it Esei Veloys Esei. Yeah, the Gemara is not assuming that that Chumen is Deraisa. Everything is Derabbanan there in that Gemara. Says that right after Kriyas Yamsuf, the people were, the Gemara says there was more, they were enriched from the Bizas Hayam, much more than the Bizas Mitzrayim. They were collecting a lot of valuables on that occasion, and they didn't want to leave. They wanted to grab more and more and more and more. So the pasuk says right after, "Sus v'rochu rama v'yam," the shira that Miriam said, says, "Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miyamsuf, vayasa bal korchom." He see him bal korchom. He said, "Ah, enough, enough." They're spending. Rashi quotes from the Mechilta like that. He see him bal korchom. That's enough. They're spending too much time grabbing too much wealth. They have enough. So they started to travel in the Midbar, and there was no water. So the simple pshat is that there was no water to drink. And the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, there's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The Gemara says in the end of Perek Merube that Ezra made 10 takonis. That one of the eser takonis of Ezra was that you should learn Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni Vechamishi and on Shabbos Shalayachos Shloshes Yamin Bulay Torah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That was takonis Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you mean? Ezra made the takana? Mar says, you're right, Moshe Rabbeinu made the takana. Ezra enhanced the takana. He added on more aliyah, so he added on more psukim, whatever it is. The Gemara is not sure exactly what. So the Gemara assumes there in the end of Perek Merubah that this was the takana that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a din de Rabbanan, but it's alluded to. It's alluded to in the Chumash. That's like we have dinim de rabbanon that appear in Nevi'im Uksuvim, so they have a special status. We refer to them as divrei kabbalah. It's a dinim de rabbanon, but it has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh. If the Kisvei HaKodesh were written, the Chumash for sure was written more than Ruach HaKodesh. It was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. The Gemara's medayik dinim from every extra letter, from a missing letter, from a phrase, and so on. So we assume the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. Otherwise, you can't make any diukim. So here, the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should incorporate within the Chumash a remez to his takana. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam approved, he endorsed the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's called Dibre Kabbalah. A takana de Rabbanu that has the stamp of approval of the Bezun Shel Milo or the chief dayan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He has the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. So takana's Kriyas HaTorah is something not to laugh at. It's only a takana de rabbanon, but it's a very important takana de rabbanon. So it says they didn't have any water. The water was, they finally came to a city, Marasa, and the water was bitter, and they called the name of the city Mara because the water was bitter. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a nes that he took an eitz, and the Medrash says that it was a nes betochnes because the eitz was really a bitter tree. A bitter thing. And he mixed this, he put this eitz into the water. It didn't make sense. If anything, we should have made the water more bitter, and it made it taste good. So the pasuk says, on that occasion, Sham sam l'chokam mishpo v'sham niso. Somehow the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Jewish people a bunch of dinim. Which dinim were given in Mara? So we know from the Aseres HaDibrois, it says in Vayeschanan, Kabir Asericha v'simecha, Kasher tzivisicha, as I had commanded you. So what does it mean, kasher tzivisicha and the luchas rishonis? No. The Gemara says, the luchas rishonis and the luchas shnis, everything was proclaimed of asachas. Zoch v'shama b'dibarecha nemu. All the discrepancies were proclaimed of asachas. So the kasher tzivisicha was originally proclaimed at the occasion of Maim Hasina. Not that that's the text that was written in the second luchas, kasher tzivisicha is referring back to the first luchas. So kasher tzivisicha was declared at the time of Maim HaSina. So when was Kasher Tzivisicha? At some earlier stage. So the Gemara says in Mora that they were given the mitzvah Kibra V'yem Mora. Rashi quotes that they were given the mitzvah Parah Adumah. So the Torah Tamimah has a famous comment on this. He says that that's a misprint. There is no medrash, there is no source in the Gemara at all that Parah Adumah was given. Adarabah, the Gemara says Parah Adumah was given Parshas Chukas. The Gemara Gittin says later in the Hanizokin that Parshas Parah Adumah was one of the eight parshas that was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Yom Shu'ukam HaMishkan, I think. It was given after Maimon HaSina. It wasn't given before. So the Torah Tamimah has a famous comment. He says that it's a misprint in Rashi. It really said, Kibarav, Chof Aleph. And a scribe made a mistake. Instead of a Chof, he dropped a little ink and it looked like a Pei. Then someone thought that it said Parah Adumah. So they spelled it out. They spelled it out that it says Parah Adumah. That's why the Torah Tamimah has a famous comment. He has such a famous comment also on Mekadosh Yisrael HaHazmanim, that it says in the Gemara that the Nusach of the Kiddush on Yontav and the Nusach of the Shemone Esrei on Shabbos on Yontav is Mekadosh Yisrael HaHazmanim. So the Torah Tamimah has this famous suggestion that it should really be Mekadosh Yisrael V'Chag HaMatzah, V'Chag Yisrael V'Chag HaShavuos. V'Hazmanim means, in parentheses, V'Hazmanim. You say Mekadosh Yisrael, and then you fill in whatever this man is, like you say in Rosh Hashanah, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Kadosh Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about that. He said he argued with him, he knew him in Europe, and he argued with him, and he says he was a very stubborn person, and he wouldn't listen to logic, and he printed this in his autobiography, Mekadesh Al Hazmanim is a mistake. So it's interesting, in the Torah Shleima, on today's Sedra, he takes issue with both of these. So Mekadesh Al Hazmanim, he doesn't want to say whom he's attacking, he just says, Reisi L'chocham Echad, Shekosav, that's the Baruch Epstein in his autobiography, Mekor Baruch, that he says, Mekadesh Al Hazmanim says it's not correct. He says, we have a lot of Kisvei Yad. They say, there are some Kisvei Yad that have, in Haggadah Shleima, Rabbi Mendel Kasha quotes, there are Kisvei Yad that have, the Kiddush on Pesach, Mekadesh Al Hazmanim, V'chagamatzis. There is such a Nusa. But he says, in all the Kisvei Yad, it says, Mekadesh Al Hazmanim, you can't say that all the Gemaras are misprint. Then he says about this, it's not true. He says about Paraduma, that it said, Kibudav, Chof Aleph, and they made a mistake, Pei Aleph. He says, here he quotes the Torah Tmima by name. He says, the Torah Tmima writes this, and he says, with all due respect, it's not true. He says, the Ramban HaChumash quotes the Rashi, and the Rabbeinu B'chaya, and he quotes all the Rishonim, quote the Rashi. And the Rishonim say, Rashi must have had a Gersa like that in Gemara Sanhedrin, that it says that the Paraduma was given. Yeah, where did Rashi, where if there is such a Gersa in the Gemara, he quotes 20 Rishonim who have this Rashi. He said it's not a misprint. Early Rishonim, they had this Girsa and Rashi, they say, Rabbeinu Peretz says, Rashi must have had a Girsa in the Gemara Sanhedrin, that Paraduma was given. When you get it, the Gemara says in the Pasuk, Chokam Mishpat. So the Gemara says that Dinim were given in Mora. Dinim were given. The Gemara said, what do you mean Dinim were given? Dinim is from the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. What did it have to be given specially to the Jews? The Gemara says, La Nitzvich Eilu Ledinik Knossos. That the Ben Enoch only have Mominis, they don't have Knoss. And the Jewish people were given Knossos in Mora. Or the Gemara says, maybe Dinim were given in Mora that you need a Beznav Chav Gimel. Maybe that's what it means. For Dinim the Farshis, you need a Beznav Chav Gimel. As opposed to the Bnei Noach, they don't have the same, they don't apply the Dinim the same as we do. So Mishpat is a reference to Dinim. And Chok, Rashi must have had a Gersa in Gemara. The Chok is a reference to Zos Chukas HaTorah, that Parah Adumah. How do you know that Kibud Av Yeim was given? So that the Gemara says, because it says, Kabir Sincha Simecha Kashet Rishichem. It says in Vaeschanan, and it cannot be referring back to the Luchas Rishonis, because the Gemara says, Zochu V'shamu D'Yibarecha Nemru. Whatever it says in Luchas Shnius was proclaimed in the Maamir HaSinai. So it's referring to some Kashet Rishicha prior to Maamir HaSinai. So that must be referring to Mora. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a sefer that's called Sheb D'Nechemta, among his various svarim. His mother passed away, and he wrote to memorialize his mother, so he wrote seven essays on Drush to be a Nechama for himself. So in one of the essays he writes about Kibud Av Yeim. So he discusses the shadow that's raised by the Minchas Chinuch and by the Maharam Shik and other Paskim, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Yeim? Is it Ben Adam HaMokam or is it Ben Adam HaChaveru? Should we assume it's to express our gratitude, Akoras HaTov, to the parents for raising us, for giving birth to us, for bringing us into the world? So there's a mitzvah, Kibud Av Yeim, out of Akoras HaTov, Ben Adam LaChaveiro, or maybe not necessarily so, maybe really the mitzvah is Ben Adam LaMakom, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, Shlosh Yishut Fim Yesh Ba'Adam. I saw in the Svarim sale, they're selling a book about the Kibud Av Yeim, about the three partners, about the partnership between the Rabbanu Shel Olam and the two parents. So the some Achrayim want to say that Kibud Av Yeim is only a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah bin Adam Mamakim, it's an indirect way to show kavod to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Rabbanu Shel Olam is invisible, so if you show kavod to our parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will consider it as if I were there and he showed kavod to me. And if we disrespect our parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will consider it as if I had been there and they were disrespectful to me. So this is the dion that Achrayim have. So Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests, based on a passage in the Gemara, in the end of the first parak in Erevin, the Gemara says that for 2.5 years there was a debate, an ongoing debate between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. It doesn't say who held which way, whether it's Noach L'Aladim Mishanivra Mishaloi Nivra or Noach L'Aladim Mishalo Nivra Mishanivra. Is it better for man that he was brought into the world, or better for man he was not brought into the world? So the Gemara says after 2.5 years they finally came to the conclusion, Nimna V'Gamru, Noach L'Aladim Mishaloi Nivra. Better that man should not have been brought into the world. That's the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph. So there's a little Tosfos on that Gemara, where Tosfos has a comment The conclusion is Noach Lolad Mishaloi Nivra Mishinivra. A tzaddik like Moshe Feinstein, a tzaddik like tzaddikim Talmid HaChachamim. So Tzadik says, no, the Gemara goes on a plain person, the average person. On tzaddikim, of course, is Ashrei Lo V'Ashrei Doro. It's wonderful that he was brought into the world. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, based on the Tosis, he says, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim? It's been Adam L'Chaveiro, a debt of gratitude. We should sue our parents? Why they brought us into this world? So really, it only makes sense that we owe them a debt of gratitude. If I turn out to be an unusual tzaddik, the Ashrei Lo, Ashrei Doro, so then I owe a debt of gratitude to my parents. If I'm a plain person, then it can't be Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, it can only be Ben Adam L'Mam. So he suggests maybe that's the pshat here in the Pasuk. Sham Sam Lo Choka Mishpat. Chok means perhaps paraduma. Mishmat perhaps refers to dinim. Chok mishpat is referring to kibbut aviyim, which is sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat. Mishpat means bein adam l'chaveira, and a chok perhaps means bein adam l'makom. So kibbut aviyim depends on you. Who are you? If you're somebody special, then kibbut aviyim is a mishpat. Then you are debt of gratitude to your parents. They brought you into the world and you accomplish a lot. It's a wonderful thing that you were brought into the world. And if you're nothing special, then the nature of your kibbut aviyim is only that of a chok. It's only bein adam l'makom, and it's not going to be bein adam l'chaveira. This Rabbi Yosef Engel is a suggestion. It's in a sefer in the Kuntra Shev de Nechemta. The end of the parsha, you have the story of Amalek. The Gemara says they checked through the whole Tanakh. There is no such city that's named the Refidim. So what does it mean, Berefidim? Sherafi Yedeim Edivrei Torah. That Melchama Cherebol Olam Al Bitl Torah. The Netziv has a long arichas on this in his Hagdamah to his commentary on the Shiltas, that all the wars in the world are because of Bittul Torah. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Chereb Bal Olam Alivus Adin Val Bittul Torah. So that's how the Gemara says Shirofi Yidei Medivrei Torah. So because Amalek waged war against the Jewish people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that was a they had no right to do that. That was a scandalous, terrible thing. So Rabbanu Shalom promises, Mocha Emcha Zech Amalek. Locham Hashem Ba'Amalek Midor Dor. Rabbanu Shalom says he's going to wipe out Amalek, and he's going to wage war against Amalek Midor Dor. When it's repeated again in Parshas Kiseitze, so then say Mocha Emcha, says Timcha Zech Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, we have to wage war. That's one of the Mochemes Mitzvah. We're not so happy about these Mochemes, but that's the din. We're Mochiv to go to war to wage war against Amalek, to wipe out Amalek. Soloveitchik, in one of his essays, published essays in English, quotes a passage from the Zohar, that the Zohar says when the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, it says, Boretzos Yisov Avo. Then the Rabbanu Shalom is touching up the Bria, and he did away with the Tov Avo. But a little bit of Tov Avo he left behind, that's represented by Amalek, and he wants us to continue. He says he's going to wage war against Amalek, and he wants us to help him, that we should wage war. Tim Chazech Amalek. You have to wage war against Amalek to wipe them out. Kiyot al keis ko. God swore by his throne. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Why does it say keis ko? It should say kiyot al kisei Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Ein ha-kisei sholem, ein ha-shem sholem, kol zman sholeimcha Amalek. When we'll wipe out Amalek, then it'll be the shame will be sholem, then the kisei will be sholem. What do I mean? The kisei, the throne of God. It looks as if God is not in control. It looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control in the world. If you have Amalek, represents the problem of evil. You have Tzadik v'ra lo, Rosha v'tov lo. So you get the mistaken impression as if the Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world is not the same one who instituted the moral, ethical, and religious principles. So the fact that you have Tzadikim who suffer and Rishayim who prosper in this world. If it's the same God who created, if there's one God, if God knows what's happening, see, if a person doesn't believe in God, or he believes in God but he doesn't believe that God knows what's happening, or he knows what's happening, he doesn't care, or he doesn't have the ability to intervene, so then there's no kasha. But we believe in all of the premises. We believe there's only one God. So you can't say there's one God who did this and one God who did that. It's only one God who's in full control of everything, and he can intervene, and he does know what's happening, and he does care. Nu, so it's the hakasha. How can you have tzadik v'ra lo rosh hatov? So it's a murderous kasha. So it looks as if the kisei is incomplete. It looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam A kisei means a melech who has a throne. He's powerful. Looks if the Ribbono Shel Olam is impotent. So that's the perception, is as if the kisei is not shalom. So lasei lavai, the kisei will be shalom. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be complete. Means that the perception will be, we'll all understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in full control. And the kiyot al kais ko is from the shem yud kei vav kei. It's an incomplete name of Hashem. It's incomplete, calls man that you have a molek, so it looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in the full control. Rav Soloveitchik once said from his father a suggestion, why is it ko? The Minchas Chinuch writes, there's a din of Mechikas Hashem, you're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. So that we know. So there is Zayin Shem Hashem Chotman, the seven names that you're not allowed to erase. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in Yerideya, Hilchos Sefer Torah. From the Gemara and Shavuos, the Zayin Shem Shein Mechafer. The Rambam has it in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah. So one of the Shemus is Yud Kei. Ko is one of the Zayin Shemus. So the Menchas Chinuch raises the question, when you write Yud Kei, you have Shem Hashem. Then when you write Vav, you just ruined it. You no longer have Shem Hashem. So in a certain sense, adding the Vav after writing Yud Kei is in a certain sense a Mechikas Hashem. You're destroying the Shem Hashem. You're not erasing the Yud or the He, but you're destroying the Shem Hashem by adding another letter. So some of the Mefarshim on the Mishnayis comment, there's a Mishnah in Yomer that there was a Bar Kamtzor, there was a Sefer who knew how to write with four pens at the same time. He would put four pens in between the five fingers, he could write four letters at the same time, and he didn't want to teach a trick to anybody else, and the rabbis cursed him because he didn't want to teach. Shem Rishayim Yirkav, he goes down in history as Yirkav, doesn't mean he should rot. Yirkav is like Yikov, he should be cursed. Zechet Tzadik Levracha, the Tzadik should be blessed. When we mention the Tzadik, we give a bracha, v'shem Rishayim, Yirkav Yikov, he should be cursed. So the Mishnah lists him off as one of the people who is cursed, because he didn't want to teach the trick to others. So the Tzadik Yonta quotes, and a guy knows how to stand on his head, he knows how to do tricks, and he doesn't teach it to the whole world. Houdini, he could do a lot of magic tricks. He didn't teach magic to everybody else. You have to curse him for that. So it must be something important. So the Mekubalim say he knew how to write Yud Kei Vav Kei Bevasachas. What's the significance of writing Yud Kei Vav Kei? The four pens, he wrote Yud Kei. I think the Tosfos Yonder quotes that. He wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the godless? Oh, so that's what they say. The godless was, because when you write Yud Kei and you write a Vav, in a certain sense it's a shtickl mechikas Hashem. So if you can write all four Bevasachas, that's better.
Who was Yehuda? Yehuda. When you write Yehuda in the Torah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he writes the Yud and the Hey, that's not but Kavanah for the Shem Hashem. But here when he writes Yud Kei, he does have Kavanah for the Shem Hashem. So when he writes Yud Kei, it's already Hashem. That's the problem over here. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch quotes all of this. This Tazid Yonta with the Mefarshim and the Mishnah. And then he raises a question. That the din is that in Tefillah and Mezuzah, you have to write Kisidron. You have to write Kadesh. You can't write it backwards. And if you find a mistake in the middle of the Tefillah Mezuzah, you can't correct it, because the Ksiva has to be Kisidron. And the Sefer Torah, you don't need Kisidron. It would be impossible if you would insist on Kisidron. Anytime there's a mistake, you've got to start all over again from the beginning. It would be impossible. So in the Sefer Torah, you don't need Kisidron. So some of the Achrayim came up with a Chumrah that the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah does need Kisidron. It cannot be that a Ksiva Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah is not as Chumrah as Ksiva's Tefillah Mezuzah. That's what the Mishnah's Chachamim is, a set of Svarim on the Rambam. So that's what the Mishnah's Chachamim suggests. So the Menchas Chinuch says, but if you need Kisidron, so is this considered Kisidron? If you write Yud Kei Vav Kei, all four Bavasachas, isn't this a violation of Kisidron, or is it not a violation? Maybe Shalei Kisidron is possible. Maybe there's no requirement to write the Yud first, then the Hey, then the Vav, then the Hey. Maybe just if you write Bavasachas, it's good. Maybe only if you write out of order is no good. That's the Minchas Chinuch has that discussion. So Moshe Soloveitchik made a comment. He said he doesn't think it's a shaila of Mechikas Hashem. When you write Yud Kei, then you write Vav, there's not a problem. Because the Shem Koh, this was his suggestion, Shem Koh is an allusion to the Rambam writes that the Shem Koh is Miktas Min Hashem Amforish. It's an abbreviated form of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the Rambam writes that. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara in Shavuos. So the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought it's an abbreviated form, but it's not the first two letters. It's the first and the fourth letter. It's the first Yud and the last Hey. What's the difference? So he thought that Yud always means future, and the hey at the end means past, and the hey and the vav in the middle means present. But it's in the reverse order. Yihye and hove and hoya. So he said that ko is a mikzas man Hashem amperash. You use the name ko when the Rabbanu Shalom is not visible now, when you can't see the Shechina now. So the present is missing. They took out the hay and the vav in the middle. The hove is missing, so you just have the yud on the future. God will appear in the future. And the hay at the end, the hay, yud kei, the hay, is in the past. God revealed himself in the past. And God will reveal himself in the future. And the present, we don't see him. He's invisible now. He's hiding. He's a kel mistata now. So he thought when you write yud kei, intending to write vav kei, you don't have a shame yud kei. You only have a shame yud kei if you had in mind the second hay of yud kei vav kei. If you had in mind the first hay, you just began the shame yud kei vav kei and you didn't finish. There's no mechikas Hashem. I asked one of the people who looks in Kabbalah for him, he said, nobody says that. He said he doesn't think any of them in Kabbalah say that. He said, it's an interesting idea. He says he never heard it. The Pashto says that the din of Mechiyas HaMolek is only Derech Melchama. Melchama L'Hashem B'HaMolek, Midor Dor. It has to be Derech Melchama. I'm walking down the street and I can identify someone as an Amaleki, so the Pashto says that I'm not Mechiyav to kill him. The Rambam writes like that regarding the Zayin Umis. If you're walking down the block and you bump into one of the people from the Zayin Umis, so then there's a mitzvah to kill him, and if he didn't, you're mevatel mitzvah. But by Amalek, the Pashto says it's only in the context of a Muhammad. Muhammad means if you have a Jewish army that's sponsored by the Jewish government and Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Yeruchim Perlda wrote this voluminous commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rav Sadi Goyen. He's the one who decided that it's a Sefer HaMitzvahs. No one ever knew it's a Sefer HaMitzvah. Rav Sadi Goyen wrote a piyut where he includes, where he rattles off in the days of the Gaonim, and the Rishonim used to write piyutim that were called Azhoras. They would list off all of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah. A lot of them would recite this piyutim on Shavuos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. When they would lay in Aseres HaDibros, they would recite piyutim in connection with each one of the Aseres HaDibros. How many mitzvahs fall under each one of the Aseres HaDibros? Rav Sadi Goyen has this poem. It's a couple of pages long. And Rabbi Yeruchim Perlda was a businessman in Europe who retired to Eretz Yisrael years ago. And he wrote this whole commentary. He explains what he thinks the Shita Rav Sadi Goyen was, what does count as a mitzvah, what not. So he has a discussion there on the Pasuk in the Gilas Esther. It says, there's Beis Haman, after killing Haman and his 10 sons, so Ahasuerush gave over all of the Beis Haman, all the assets of Haman, Aruga Malchus Nechseim LaMelech. So Ahasuerush decided that this Haman is a Mori B'Malchus. He's starting up with his wife, Agam Lichshbez HaMalki, Imi Babayis. And he finds out that Haman wanted to kill his wife, Esther. So that's a Mor B'Malchus, so he killed him. So Haruga Malchus Nechseim LaMelech, so the king takes over all the property of Haman. What's he going to do with it? He doesn't need his junk. So he gave it over to Mordechai. It says in the beginning, he gave it to Mordechai. So Rabbi Yeruchim Perlda is bothered with Akasha. It says that Haman, Ho'agogi, he was descendant from Agag, Melech Amalek, if that's the Pashim Shah, Haman Ho'agogi. So he was an Amaleki, and then there's a Machlekes HaTanayim and a Shailen Rishonim, how to assume, when you have to wipe out Amalek, does that include also Mishor Bat Chamor Atzeh? Like in the Haftorah on Parsha Zohar, that Shmuel HaNavi commanded, instructed Shaul HaMelech that he has to wipe out everything from Amalek. We're not allowed to benefit from anything from Amalek. Or was that only once in the history of the world? That was a Hayrashu at that time, but that's not the Din of Amalek. The Din of Amalek only means to kill the human beings, to kill the people, not to kill the behemoths. And there's nothing wrong with taking the property of Amalek. So Rashi HaChumash writes, Mishor Bat Chamor Atzeh. And other Rishonim hold, no, that was only Hayrashu. That's not a din l'dor. So if one should assume that is the din l'dor, so how can Mordechai take Beis Haman? How can the pasuk say that Ahasuerush gave Beis Haman to Mordechai, and the assumption is that he kept all of those assets? Shouldn't it be also because of Amalek? So Rabbi Yeruchim Perlda gives a few suggestions. So he quotes one answer from the Yerushalmi that Haman Agagi doesn't mean that he was a descendant of Agag. He did a maisa like Agag. He himself was not from Amalek. He did a maisa like Amalek, so that's why we refer to him as Haman HaAgagi. But that's a Yerushalmi. And others assume not so. Others assume he really was a descendant from Agag. So he was an Amaleki. So Rabbi Yochanan Pella has another two answers. Another answer he gives is that the only time you have this din, that all of the assets of Amalek are Rosh HaBanor, that's if you waged war against Amalek in the Mizgeret of Melchama. If you had a Melchama against Amalek, so then you're not allowed to take the loot. You're not allowed to take the spoils. But it wasn't in the knife of Melchama over here. They killed Haman and his 10 sons. It wasn't a Melchemes Mitzvah, because there was no Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government. Just they killed the Sinai Yisrael. But that's not the din of Amalek. So the whole din that everything is also Banor didn't apply. Parsha concludes, the Maftar begins with the phrase, Kso zo sikon ba sefer. Sim biyoz ne mishur kemocha em chezech ha-molek mitachas ha-shamayim. So the Gemara Megillah has a fascinating comment. Kso zo sikon ba sefer is the mocha for the institution of Tanakh. How do you know that you have a right to add on? The Rebbe Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chamish Uchum Shetur. Who gave the later Rabbanim the right to add on Nevi'im and the right to add on Ksuvim? And you declare all this as Kisvei HaKadosh should be Bal Taisif. So the Gemara says the mocker is this pasuk, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer. Zos is an allusion to the Chamish Uchum Shetayra, Zikaron is an allusion to the Nevi'im, and Basefer is an allusion to the Ksuvim. Why is that so? Why does the word Zos have the connotation of Sefer Torah, Chamish Uchum Shetayra, and Zikaron has the connotation of Nevi'im, and Basefer has the connotation of Ksuvim? That's a long arichas. Have it in my Sefer. Okay. The Mefarshim wonder on the expression, they should wipe out Amalek, mitachas ha-shamayim. What does it mean, mitachas ha-shamayim? What is that expression? So I think they quote in the name of Rav Kook. I'm not familiar with his, not sufficiently familiar with his writings. I don't know where he has it, but they say he has in one of his svarim that our perception of the world is that there's evil in the world, that Amalek is evil. So that's mitachas ha-shamayim, that's from our perception. The truth of the matter is that there is no evil in the world. We don't understand it. From the Rabban Shalom's perception, looking from heaven down, everything is letoiva. So that's what the Gemara says. The kolzman that you have a Moloch in the world, then we sometimes say Baruch Atah Ba'amitam, sometimes we say Dayan Emes. When a tragedy occurs, we say Dayan Emes. When something wonderful occurs, we say Atah Ba'amitam. And Lasi Lava, after a Moloch will be wiped out, then we will have the... But when you say Dain HaEmes, you have to have the amuna that everything is really called Ma'adav Rachmanu Letavali. Lazilava, after Amalek will be wiped out, the Gemara says in Sochem, I think on Daf Memtes, that we'll never say Dain HaEmes, we'll always say Atoiva Meikin. The perception will be in correspondence with the amuna that everything is Letoiva. So that's what Rav Kook says. The reason why he says Mitachas HaShemai means from your perception. From the human perception, it looks as if there's evil in the world. From the perspective of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, there is no evil in the world. Everything is l'toiva. We don't understand it. The Nazis killed so many Jews. That's l'toiva. We can't understand. Amalek is killing Jews. How can that be l'toiva? So we say Dayan HaEmes. The Nusach HaBracha should be corresponding to our perception. But we're supposed to have emuna that it's really l'toiva. And Lasilava, after Amalek will be wiped out, then the Gemara says we won't say anymore Dayan HaEmes. The perception, we'll all understand that everything that the Baruch Shalom always did is really l'toiva. Okay. This Sunday I'll be out of town. I won't be able to give a share. Next Sunday also I'll be out of town. And then the week after I'll be out of town for a whole week. The last week in February. The Monday of President's Day, I don't know exactly what time I'll give the share. What is that? Next Monday. A week from this coming Monday. I'll have to figure out.